Coming to you from the Armed American Radio Studios on Peachtree Street in downtown Atlanta, this is Armed American Radio. Here is Mark Walters.
Here's Mark Walters. Sounds like here's Johnny and here's Jim Irvine, too. Are you laughing back there, Jim?
Oh, yes. It's fun.
Welcome back to Armed American Radio. I'm your host, Mark Walters, and I am thrilled to be joined with my very good friend, former co-host, WHK 1420, Jim Irvine, chairman of the Buckeye Firearms Association. They do amazing work up there. And I got to clear something up here. When we were giving away the brief, did we say caller number two?
We said caller two.
Caller two. Greg Worley in Easley, South Carolina, picks up a copy of that brief. So, Greg, thanks very much for listening in South Carolina. We appreciate it very much. You guys got some racing coming your direction here, too, in Darlington, and I will be there. Vroom, vroom. Pow, pow.
Crack of the bat. And I understand... We also gave one to a military guy.
We did, and I'm glad you mentioned that. Before I talk about that, let's give out some phone numbers, 877-956-9566, if you're interested in participating, 877-956-9566, mark@armedamericanradio.org, mark@armedamericanradio.org, or twitter.com/AARmark. And by the way, don't forget to check us out at usconcealedcarry.com. If you're not a member, you need to be. And you'll hear why. Jim, I'm going to play a clip, two clips for you, but when we bring Dane Von Breichenrookhardt in just a couple of moments, before I bring him in, I'm going to lead off with something that's going to be, it's really powerful stuff from Judge Napolitano, who you know is Fox News contributor. I'm sure you've seen him.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's a very, very powerful clip, and we'll get to that in just a second. But let's go to Ed Rouse. We gave a brief away to Ed Rouse, and I want to read an email. Ed Rouse is the father of an American hero, two American heroes, both of his boys. And we have, Jim, as you know, taken up, we've kind of adopted Samuel Rouse from the 3rd Marine Expeditionary Unit. And I want you to listen to this email I got from him, because we have been following him, and you, our listeners, have been doing an unbelievable job in supporting these young men overseas, wherever they've been, fighting for you and yours and ours, all of ours and our freedoms that we can talk about every single week here on Armed American Radio. Gift packages galore, care packages, and it's been a wonderful outpouring. So thank all of you. You can see that by visiting armedamericanradio.org and clicking on the America's Heroes tab, and you'll see an amazing photograph of our hero Samuel Rouse in his unit. And take a listen to this email I got from his dad. Mark, looking forward to the live show tonight. First one I have been able to catch in 3 weeks. The 11th Marine Expeditionary Unit has been relieved and is now headed back to the States. Should take them about 4 weeks. He is on his way home if nothing else comes up that they have to deal with. That is wonderful news. We have been following him here since he went and deployed from San Diego. So we look forward to welcoming him back, and I will be bringing him here and flying him here when he has the time to Atlanta on my dime and putting him in this studio so that we can talk to him and you can listen to what he has to say. He's a hero, Jim.
He is. Every military person, they are first in our hearts because they go out and fight the big battles and win every big battle. Because if they didn't, we wouldn't be able to fight for all of the little battles we're fighting for, all of the different various things. And even if you don't care about guns for whatever silly reason you might, but everything we have in this country, we owe it to the military that secures it and defends it and keeps that. We can live in bliss. The scholars and universities can live in their make-believe world because we have a military out there keeping the wolves at bay and allowing all of us to sleep peacefully at night. And God bless them. They just do not get thanked enough for what they do. An all-volunteer force, folks. All volunteers go out and do this so that we live in a better country. And you know what? And so other people in the rest of the world live in a better country, too. That is America.
You know, I couldn't have said it any better than that. And Samuel and all of the boys and the young women that he's been fighting side by side with, you know, what else can you say? What else can you say? And we were honored when he called here. We asked him to call here literally hours before he deployed, and he did. He was able to call us from San Diego. And, you know, you're talking about Charlie Company of the 11th Marine Expeditionary Unit, you know, not just them, every unit out there. So hats off to all of them. Congratulations, Samuel. We know you're picking up the broadcast wherever you are. It might be a little bit delayed, but thanks for everything, and we're really looking forward to getting you back and getting you at the very least on the air. And I want to bring you here to Atlanta and put you in the studio, and we'll have some fun.
Oh, yeah, to every one of them, you know, stay safe, stay smart, stay together, and come home safely after your job is done.
Bingo. Listen, I've got a clip that I want to run from Judge Napolitano as we bring in Dane von Breichenruckhardt, president of the U.S. Bill of Rights Foundation. We'll do that right after this clip. Take a listen to this.
Good afternoon. This is your...
Oh, that's
the wrong
one.
In the long history of the world, only a few generations have been granted the role of defending freedom in its maximum hour of danger. You are that generation. This is your role. Now is that time. Freedom must be defended from every assailant in every corner of this country, from outside the country, from inside the country, and especially from the government that wants to take it away from us.
Wow. On that note, Jim, let's bring in Dane von Breichenruckhardt, the president of the U.S. Bill of Rights Foundation, the original architect, one of the original architects of the original Heller case that led us to the McDonald case. Dane, welcome back to Armed American Radio, my friend.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed being here. Looking forward to our conversation.
Man, I'll tell you what. Now, Jim, you have spoken with Dane before, too, I believe?
Yes.
Okay. Let's start the conversation off with this, Dane. You heard that clip from Judge Napolitano. Freedom is obviously under an assault in this country right now. You know, I'm not afraid to say it. I've said it time after time. I believe that we have a socialist in the White House. I see it going that direction. Big government, big government, big government, big government means less freedom, less freedom, less freedom, less freedom in all aspects of our lives. Now, when we talk about the Supreme Court case, which was just heard on Tuesday, what does this mean for our freedoms?
Well, it means more eternal vigilance. It's we, even though we won, I'm convinced. I mean, everyone here in the town, all of the commentators and common sense will tell you that getting the Second Amendment incorporated is a foregone conclusion. The biggest part of the argument had to do with how they were going to do it. But one of the things that came out over and over and over again in the oral arguments on Tuesday was regulation, regulation, regulation. They, the court did not discuss very much at all, other than agreeing that that they would establish the minimum conditions for the right to keep and bear arms, but that they were going to leave it open on a case-by-case basis as to what would be a proper regulatory scheme. And they knew that it was going to come in many different ways and fashions. So our work is just really beginning. You know, we think that, you know, we did. We won a great victory with Heller. We're going to win a great victory with McDonald. But our work just begins, and it's just a different type of work. We now are going to be fighting 50 states with all of their insane ideas about regulation. And so there is so little jurisprudence on Second Amendment law. It just almost non-existence. Most of it is just intellectual, you know, writings. And
now, Dane,
we don't have much stare decisis, and a lot of Miller has been overturned in the Heller case. But this is an area of American jurisprudence that was ignored for a very long time. So Second Amendment jurisprudence is going to be made. And now this is the time that we're really going to have to roll our sleeves up, because if we don't and we let this slide past us, they're going to push every regulation they can think of to try to prevent us from having reasonable access to firearms as it was intended by the Second Amendment.
Now, you are, Jim,
go ahead.
We've got to
go out on the aggressive on this, too, because we're never going to get good laws in our courts by playing defense with some crack dealer claiming he has a Second Amendment right. We have to have good plaintiffs and go forward like we did in Heller and McDonald, and spend the money and go forward and establish things on our terms if we want to win this long term.
Now, Jim, we've got 30 seconds, gentlemen. Hang with me, because, Dane, you just gave me enough ammunition here, pun intended, folks, to carry us for the remainder of, we could go 5 hours with what you just gave me. But I want to focus on one point, and that's the regulation, because what happened in Washington after the Heller victory is what I believe you're referring to that we may see as a result of how they decide this case based on due process or privileges and immunities. And we'll talk with Dane about that in just a couple of minutes. Stick around. You're on the Armed American Radio Network. I'm your host, Mark Walters, with Jim Irvine and Dane Von Breichenrookhart, and we will be right back.
When was the last time someone offered you a second chance to save thousands of dollars? If you owe the IRS or state at least $15,000, American Tax Relief is offering you a second chance to eliminate up to 85% of your delinquent taxes. Thousands of honest, hardworking Americans have turned to American Tax Relief for the help they need. Look, your tax problem isn't going to go away. In fact, it's only going to get worse unless you get help. Call 1-800-605-3241. Now you have qualified help in dealing with the IRS. This is the second chance you never had before to save up to 85% on the taxes you owe. Get the second chance you deserve and save up to 85% on your delinquent taxes. Call American Tax Relief for a free consultation to see how much money they can save you. Call 1-800-605-3241. Call right now for your second chance. 1-800-605-3241.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
If you are faced with the decision to pay your mortgage or your credit cards or buy groceries, then this message is for you. The real solution to solving your problem with credit card debt is to reduce the amount you owe to creditors. The less you owe, the more money you will have for more important things in life. Strategic Resources wants to give you information about all your options for free. In a simple 5-minute phone call, you can find out which programs work best for your life now. 800-981-9371. 800-981-9371.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care, with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll-free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
Is your life a whirr? Do you find yourself coming and going at a pace that would leave a coffee-drinking Jack Russell Terrier in the dust? Would you like to just slow down and get out of the rat race? Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby with the 3-Step Plan Home Business System. Slow down and have a less stressful, happier life by building a home business. Go to 3stepplan.com or call 800-895-6545. 800-895-6545.
Are you a firearms owner? If you live in an urban area that is susceptible to natural or man-made disasters, then you need to visit 9survive.com. Learn vital survival skills, such as how to avoid making your prepared family a target for looters, and how to fix the top 10 mistakes people make with 72-hour kits. Learn these skills and more. sign up for a free 9-day mini course at 9survive.com. That's the number 9, survive, then .com.
Now, back to the Armed American Radio Network show. We're talking about guns, ammunition, and the right to bear arms. This is the Armed American Radio Network. Here again, Mark Walters.
And you are on the Armed American Radio Network. I'm Mark Walters, joined with my co-host and good friend Jim Irvine tonight, and Dane von Breiken-Rukart, president of the U.S. Bill of Rights Foundation. Brilliant mind and fascinating to talk to, and I want to get right back to him. Dane, when we left for that break, I know where you were going with this, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but after the Heller decision was won, Washington, D.C. did everything they could, and they're still doing everything they can now to trample on that right. And I think a lot of that was because of the way the wording of the Supreme Court decision, the way the Supreme Court decision was worded. And, you know, they're doing all kinds of crazy stuff. Now, if I hear you correctly, based on how loose the coming victory is going to be, based on whether we're talking due process or privileges and immunities, we're looking at 50 states of this crap now?
Yeah, we are, because before the McDonald case made it, and even right now, until they've made their decision, which will come up this summer, the Second Amendment is not binding against the states. The states can theoretically do anything they want to do as it applies to the Second Amendment. The only problem is, for them, of course, is that we have filed this case and that all of the literally states and counties and cities and municipalities who have been just willy-nilly making up any gun laws that they want to make up are now going to, if we do in fact get incorporation, which I think we will, they will go through exactly what the District of Columbia went through, and that is they'll be given probably about a 90-day period to come up with new laws, to either take the old laws off the books, and if they want to put some on, they can, but they'll have to do it according to the instructions of the court. The problem is that did not stop the District of Columbia. The District of Columbia did everything in its power to try to add. First, they said they weren't going to register any semi-automatic handguns. Then they said that the guns had to be disassembled, unloaded, ammunition in one place, gun in the other, and that if you heard a bump in the night, you had to, without your gun in hand, had to go down. Literally, these were their instructions. You would have to go and determine as to whether or not there was a credible threat. Then if you determine that there was a credible threat, then you could go to where your gun is, untrigger lock it, assemble it, then go to where your ammunition is and load it, and then go protect your life in your own home. And I could go on and on and on with these things. You know, they were refusing to register certain guns, whether they were revolvers or semi-automatics. It was this arbitrary process. The fees were up in the hundreds and some dollars. There's re-registration. Now there are these courses that you take, but you don't go on the range at all. These are classroom courses. Then you've got to go out and find a certified instructor outside of the District of Columbia to get your practical skills signed off. And it goes on and on and on and on. They're making it as miserable as they can for a gun owner to get his gun registered and to keep it registered. So this is going to repeat itself throughout the country in any state, county, city, municipality that decides that it doesn't like the decision. They're going to just follow the D.C. example, and the reason they're going to do it is because they know they can get away with it with impunity, because they are protected, because they are legislators within their counties and cities and states, and you can't really come back out after them.
So now, Dane, though, the Supreme Court could, in fact, tighten up this decision on the heels of the Heller decision because they know this is an issue in the majority. Could they not?
Well, they can, but they have to have a case before them. They don't just jump in and say, hey, wait a minute, stop the music. We said this and you're not doing it. It's up to people who like the Bill of Rights Foundation, because we have Heller 2 filed right now on these issues. And by the way, while we were filing all of these cases against the city, the semi-automatic issue, they backed off. The gun, having the gun trigger lock and the ammunition separate from the gun and the assessing the threat, they backed off on that. And there was a whole, we've won a lot of victories just by going in and filing complaints on all of their shenanigans that they were doing. But they finally, we finally got them to where we've got definitive ground, where they will not give up. And one of them is they know anything that they call an assault weapon, which anybody else can own in this country, they're not going to allow them. They're not going to allow guns that are colored any differently than chrome, natural metal, or blued, or parkerized, or something like that. So no.
So we're going to discriminate against women who like a pink gun.
Right, exactly. And it goes on and on and on and on. And also the re-registration requirements, the training requirements, and also we've made a facial challenge to registration at all. What we're saying is that we should have the highest level of scrutiny, protection for the Second Amendment, and the city or the state or the municipality should be able to demonstrate what is called, this is under the strict scrutiny rule, and basically what it says is that the government would have to have a compelling interest and demonstrate that they picked the least invasive route for the compelling interest that they claim that they have. The problem is they can't demonstrate any of that because all of the research that's been shown is that more guns, less crime, not the other way around. So we think that we can prevail eventually. It's just the cost and the hassle of having to go through this. And by the way, this stuff doesn't happen overnight. It takes years to get this stuff through.
Well, you know, Dick Heller's been fighting this. I know as personal friend of Dick Heller's and you, we've talked many, many times. Dick's been fighting this for a decade and a half of his life.
Absolutely.
I want to interrupt for just a second. This is a good time. We've got about 2 minutes. I've got a caller on the line. Brian from Mountain Home, Arkansas, has a question. Brian, welcome to Armed American Radio.
Hello. I just got a real quick question, and it's been just a question I've been wondering about. Why is it that the Second Amendment is the only right taken away from a felon, a convicted felon?
Interesting question, Brian. Thanks for that. We'll get Dane's response to that now. Dane, why is that?
Well, the only thing that I can imagine is that because of the lethality of the instrument and by the way, I don't agree with that. I think that felons, nonviolent felons, and I do think it should be on a case-by-case basis, but we certainly don't want a guy here who has, been arrested over and over and over, has a very violent past. You know, ultimately, I don't think you want to see him, with a gun. I think that he has, by his own choices, by his own behavior, has put himself in a position where he should not be allowed to go in and purchase a gun. However, if it is a nonviolent felon and the person has been squared away for some time, I do think, and some states do allow it, that he can go back in and apply for his rights. So this is kind of one of these things that is going to be decided along the way is where do we draw the lines for these kinds of things. But as to why, the only reason I can give you is because of the lethality of the instrument.
Well, that would be a fair answer. Thank you very much. Brian, thanks very much in Mountain Home, Arkansas, for the call. We appreciate it. 877-956-9566. If you want to pick up where Brian left off, you're on the Armed American Radio Network. Mark Walters with Jim Irvine and Dane Von Breichenruckart. We'll be right back.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
This Dream Support Moment is brought to you by AutoZone. This Ivy Leaguer captured our hearts and the gold.
AutoZone. Keep your car performing at its peak all winter. Make a trip to AutoZone. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Before you take on the winter roads, get to AutoZone and get everything you need for cold weather driving. Right now, save a dollar when you improve your engine's performance and fuel economy with a 5 1/4 ounce bottle of Lucas Fuel Treatment and Injector Cleaner for just $4.99. Get ready to ride out the winter. Get to AutoZone today. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
By the time Sarah Hughes was 13, she'd won her first junior title with the 1998 U.S. Figure Skating Championships. She worked hard and landed on the 2002 U.S. skating team. She landed 7 triple jumps. The 3 contenders ahead of her all made mistakes. By winning the long program, Sarah's dreams of gold finally happened. This Dreams of Gold moment was brought to you by AutoZone.
Imagine all your important files are on your office computer, which is usually the case. So to work from home or while traveling, you have to copy files to CDs or to a flash drive or email files to yourself or sync up to your laptop. Whatever it is, it's a hassle, and half the time we forget to do it. So there's an answer. It's the answer I've been using for years. GoToMyPC. Use GoToMyPC to remotely access your office, Mac, or PC from any other computer on Earth. Simply log on to GoToMyPC.com, and you'll have instant access to your Mac or PC. I had the computer of my home in front of me in Africa, thanks to GoToMyPC. It's easy to set up, easy to use, and as secure as online banking. If you or your employer don't have a web-based remote access service, now's the time. I want you to try GoToMyPC free today. I have a special 45-day free trial for my listeners if you use the promo code Prager. Visit GoToMyPC.com, click on the Try It Free button. Remember to use the promo code Prager.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll-free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
Now, back to the Armed American Radio Network show. We're talking about guns, ammunition, and the right to bear arms. This is the Armed American Radio Network. Here again, Mark Walters.
Welcome back to the Armed American Radio Network, America coast to coast, from Florida up to Anchorage, Alaska, down into the Southwest, through the Pacific Northwest, up into the Midwest, growing like a weed. Thank you very much for your support. We appreciate it. There's more cities lining up. We'll have announcements for you as we get close. Next week, Florida comes to town in Southeast Florida. Going to be a lot of fun. WDJA down there brings Armed American Radio Network to you. Midwest, we're working on a big one in the Midwest. I can't tell you that one yet, but I'll let you know as soon as we get good word. Statesboro, Georgia, you're going to be on the Armed American Radio Network. Kingman, Arizona, Bullhead City, Arizona. Great places. Arizona, my favorite state. Boy, that's a gun-friendly place. We're going to talk about some stuff going on out there with your restaurant, Kerry, too. Got a couple emails and a couple stories we'll go into during the roundtable. I'm joined by my good friend and co-host, Jim Irvine. Jim, welcome back to Armed American Radio, bro.
It is. This show is just so much fun. I don't know how... I understand all the people that complain when they miss a week or they can't get to it or they, you know, something comes up, because it's just a great show. I love doing it. I love listening to it. It's just fun.
Well, thank you very much. Let's go ahead and bring in. You know what? It's what I like, Jim. I love having you on here because I had a lot of fun working with you on the other show. And not just that, but in conjunction with USCCA and some of the stuff we did that had nothing to do with doing radio. But it, you know, when we hooked up with Representative DeBose, with Ken Hansen, and got him, but that was great stuff.
It was. And it's something Dwayne mentioned is the cost associated with all of this stuff that's going on. And that cannot be overstated how important the cost is in being able to fund this. And people, all the listeners out there, if you are not a member of the U.S. Concealed Carry Association, join. There is so much good information on there, and there's an organization that works with groups like Buckeye Firearms to support or donate to the Bill of Rights Foundation. Donate to a group that is fighting for this, because your tax dollars are getting used to take away your rights from these cities who don't respect any of your rights. So you darn well better make sure you've got some other donations going to support the groups that are fighting to protect those rights. Otherwise, you're spending your money to defeat yourself. That just doesn't make any sense. Don't do that.
No, it angers me. Let's go ahead and bring Dane Von Breiken-Rookhart back. Dane, from president of the U.S. Bill of Rights Foundation, welcome back to Armed American Radio. When you talk about some of the things that you talk about this opening up for new litigation, it really angers me. But I want to ask you this. Having discussed this with you before, both on the air and off the air, and I know what you guys are going through in Washington, and it really is mind-boggling to me, you know, that these people will go to this extent. The Brady campaign took, and I love to use their own words against them, Jim, you'll love this, they took a stinging defeat, which is what the Heller decision was to them, a stinging defeat, and they're going to take another stinging defeat in June or July when this decision from McDonald comes down, 9-0. But Dane, they're going to twist this into some type of success for them because it's going to be, quote-unquote, open up for some type of regulation, which they're going to tie up all of our tax dollars on. Am I wrong here?
Oh, no, you're dead on. And in fact, I think they're almost giddy with this. I think that it's kind of one of these things that as long as they can convince their constituency that the so-called gun nuts are gaining all this ground, they're raking in a lot of money, because it's and this is the way it happens. You know, when you're even people who are members of like the Bill of Rights Foundation or the NRA and all, when you feel threatened, you put up a lot of money to try to get rid of the threat, and that happens on the other side as well. And what I want to caution your listeners to understand is that, you know, don't think these are just the setup cases. You know, Heller was a great victory. I'm not undermining it, but it only got us so far. The main thing we got out of that, of course, the main deal, and we got three good things out of it, but the main one was that it was an individual right. We got rid of that ridiculous, this idea that it's a collective right, whatever that's supposed to be.
And the justices agreed on that 9-0. There was no dissent on that particular point.
Absolutely. And then they tried to hybrid it. You know, the liberals tried to hybrid that into some sort of a thing that they could control it more than what it should be controlled for being a right. But and now with the case that we just did the other day, the McDonald case, what this will do is it will take what we won in Heller and apply it to the whole nation. So every state, city, county, or municipality must recognize that this is an individual right and that they can't pass laws that infringe on the right to keep and bear arms. Now, they're going to do it, and this is where the battle begins. If we allow a lot of bad law to get then we're going to live with it for the rest of our lives. And this particular issue, this Second Amendment issue, as in juxtaposition to all of the other jurisprudence in the United States, this is cherry picking. I mean, we've only got a couple of cases, literally. We hardly have anything. This is the building block. This is the foundation from here on out. What we do from here on out will determine Second Amendment jurisprudence as long as the United States is around. And this is no time to slack off.
Now, let me ask you a question here relative to what we're going to do.
Okay.
I have had some emails from listeners across the country, and I guess the easiest way to ask this question is, let's take where we are right now today, wherever the listener may be, whether it is in Chicago, whether it's in Indianapolis, whether it's Atlanta, whether it's where Jim is in Cleveland, whether it's where you are in D.C., or somebody in Seattle. If the Supreme Court were to not incorporate the Second Amendment, what cities are at risk here? And I know it's a very loaded question, I know that, but let's take Chicago specifically. Doesn't it just leave Chicago where they are and leave Atlanta where they are?
Yes, it does.
Okay, so we're not going to be harmed. We can't experience the stinging defeat that the Brady campaign, formerly known as Handgun Control, or the Violence Policy Center, or in fact, one of my favorite wackos out there, the Freedom States Alliance, who, by the way, just merged with the States United to Prevent Gun Violence, who I'm not familiar with them. We'll have to do some digging into them. But we're not going to experience that flop on the head like you used to get from the bully in class like they will either way, correct?
Yeah, I'm not sure I completely understand your question.
Well, if the Supreme Court does not incorporate the Second Amendment,
right,
it's status quo as to where we are today, correct?
Yeah, I think with the exception of a couple of doodads here and there, it'll be over. That will essentially, we will be no better than we were except for under the Heller 2 case, which means that Washington, D.C. will be the freest place on the, I mean, well, of course, the states that have in their constitutions the right to keep and bear arms will survive off of those constitutions. But any state that does not have that in their constitution, then they can do to us what the District of Columbia has done and make it stick.
Now, there are 40-some states, I believe, 42 states that have a right to bear arms clause in their state constitution, or am I wrong on that number? Maybe it's 38. I should have looked that up.
It's 44, I believe.
44, okay. So in those other six states.
Most constitutions are actually stronger than the U.S., than the Second Amendment as far as protecting that right.
Yeah, that's my understanding, yes.
Yeah, most of them are. Dane, let me ask you this. In the event, well, no, I'm not going to go there. Too long, and we don't have enough time. We've got 30 seconds, but think about this one over the break. Sotomayor. I've mentioned on this broadcast before that I believe Sotomayor might surprise some folks with the way she votes here. I know a lot of people are saying 5-4 along ideological lines of the court's makeup right now. I have jokingly said 9-0 because that's what it ought to be. That's exactly what it ought to be. Take guns out of the equation. We're talking about the Bill of Rights in the U.S. Constitution. But my question for you when we come back from the break is how you think Sotomayor is going to handle this after her lower court decision. I'm Mark Walters with Dane Von Breichenrookhart, my co-host Jim Irvine. You're on the Armed American Radio Network, and we'll be right back.
Going into battle, you would want all the ammunition for your gun you could get. But presently, ammunition and reloading supplies are in shortage. Now think about this. If you have no food, all the guns and ammunition will be useless against the population-controlled breadlines. In the present battle for freedom and the lives of your loved ones, food is your most important and only true ammunition. How much do you want? When do you want it, now or after the battle starts? When will you need it? Will you buy it without proper identification? Will it make your children sick? Quarantine? Will you feed yourself or go to the gathering center for immunization? All of these problems disappear if you have a good supply of storable food. Food is your ammunition to fight for your freedom and your life. How much will you need? We don't know. How much do you want? All you can get. Storable food puts you in control. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. Call 800-409-5633.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine, mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll-free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
Imagine all your important files are on your office computer, which is usually the case. So to work from home or while traveling, you have to copy files to CDs or to a flash drive or email files to yourself or sync up to your laptop. Whatever it is, it's a hassle, and half the time we forget to do it. So there's an answer. It's the answer I've been using for years. GoToMyPC. Use GoToMyPC to remotely access your office Mac or PC from any other computer on Earth. Simply log on to GoToMyPC.com and you'll have instant access to your Mac or PC. I had the computer of my home in front of me in Africa, thanks to GoToMyPC. It's easy to set up, easy to use, and as secure as online banking. If you or your employer don't have a web-based remote access service, now's the time. I want you to try GoToMyPC free today. I have a special 45-day free trial for my listeners if you use the promo code PRAGER. Visit GoToMyPC.com, click on the Try It Free button. Remember to use the promo code PRAGER.
Now, back to the Armed American Radio Network show. We're talking about guns, ammunition, and the right to bear arms. This is the Armed American Radio Network. Here again, Mark Walters.
877-956-9566, 877-956-9566, if you wish to opine. And that comes from Bill O'Reilly, who got the Bonehead of the Week award a couple weeks back for being a, well, a bonehead. 877-956-9566, if you want to join the program and talk to me, Jim Irvine, or Dane Von Breichenruckart. Brilliant conversation, brilliant mind. I love talking to Dane. Dane, I asked you before we broke for the break, that was pretty cool, to think about Sotomayor. I have my own thoughts on that. Jim, I know you do too, right?
Yeah, I'm not as optimistic as you are, but I don't think it's going to be 5-4. I think we're going to get 6-3.
I do too. Dane, what's your expert opinion on here?
Yeah, I think it's possible that, well, first of all, let me back up and say this. The justices are supposed to live by stare decisis. That means that when a decision is made, the court has set precedent, then the justices are to follow that, whether they agree with it or not. Now, when you have a case of first impression and there is not enough precedent, or the precedent is confusing and you're not sure where to go, you can theoretically say, well, the justices voted the way they thought it should be because of lack of case law in the Second Amendment. But now that we have Heller, if they're not going to be judicial activists, if in fact they're going to do their job,
9-0.
It ought to be 9-0.
Okay.
They would have to look at Heller, and they would, and their job is to maintain the status quo and under stare decisis. So now, will they do it? I don't think so. But I do think that Sotomayor and maybe one or two others. I think Ginsburg very well might give it up. I think she might come back and say she might even write a partial dissent. Or you might get some split decisions where they will agree in part and disagree in part. I'm sure we're going to get the 5-4, but I think that Sotomayor and Ginsburg are the two possibles that very well might say, okay, I don't like it, but since Heller, I have to go this way with it. And then probably add some language about tough, tight regulations, and when other cases come to our court, we will have to give it the strongest, you know, consideration, you know, of safety and all. So it doesn't mean that we've won their heart. It just means that they technically don't want to be on the wrong side of the decision.
I'll take that win.
Yeah.
I'll take that win.
Yeah, I'll take it too. Yeah.
You know, it's like I'm wondering if anybody's going to publish the photo of Mayor Daley getting whacked upside the head with a rolled-up copy of the Constitution, because this guy could care less about the Constitution and your rights and your freedoms. Interesting about Sotomayor, if you go back to her lower court decision, Dane, I think you and I spoke about it before, but her ruling was, she claimed, and I guess this was in the Senate hearings, her confirmation hearings when she was asked about it, she said in a nutshell, and I paraphrase, that she had to rule that way because the Second Amendment had not been incorporated against the states. Well, now she's sitting in a position on the heels of the Heller decision, as you mentioned, where the majority opinion stated a fundamental enumerated individual right. I don't see how they can rule any other way. If they do, they show themselves to be the ideologues that they are.
Yeah. I agree.
Has there ever been a incorporation case on one of the other 10 rights where the Supreme Court decided not to incorporate the right?
You know, I haven't researched that. I'm not sure. I would have to research that. It hasn't come up, and I would just have to look it up. I don't think so. I think that if that were true, I would have heard about it. It would have popped up somewhere, because I read an awful lot about the incorporation process, and I don't recall reading about one that they voted against it. I do think that there were some elements, things that people were trying to say were fundamental in nature, and not necessarily that they were in the Bill of Rights, but they were separate rights, because they had kind of these two levels of rights, the ones that were fundamental, but the others that they recognized as rights, but they weren't so fundamental. So you kind of had a two-tiered system of rights, and which was kind of strange. It came out of the substantive due process era. But I don't know about the other.
It was funny to listen to read the transcripts on the play back and forth between Feldman and the justices talking about whether the right to self-defense is that a right that is constitutionally protected. And you almost felt sorry for Feldman. I mean, the guy's got a terrible hand to try and play, and I don't know what else he could have done, but it was it's humorous to read the transcript of this trial.
Yeah, I mean, he was getting bandied about pretty good. I mean, Alan Gurr got bandied about too on the using the privileges and immunities route. I mean, I think he had his head handed to him on a tray on that. They just did not want to hear it. I actually agree with Alan on his position, but I was afraid that he was going to get stomped. And I wish he had put more of his time and effort on making better arguments on behalf of the Second Amendment and the safeguards that the justice should be thinking about for future cases. But he was kind of preoccupied with this substantive due process versus privileges and immunities argument, and I think some, in a minor way, or maybe not a minor way, and maybe a rather severe way, the Second Amendment kind of got short shifted in that. We're going to have to make up for it, because I think there should have been a lot more discussion about what we're in for in the future, and exactly that you cannot regulate a right. You can regulate issues that resolve, I mean, that are around the the right, but you don't regulate rights in and of themselves. Only those things that revolve around the right. For instance, like in the First Amendment, you have the right to speak your mind, but you don't have the right to do it with a megaphone at 3 o'clock in the morning in a neighborhood. You know, by regulating that, you're not regulating the right. You're regulating the time, place, and manner, but you're not regulating for content. Well, the same would be true with a gun. You would have the right to keep and bear guns, but it doesn't give you the right to go out in the street in the middle of the night and start firing a gun off in the air. So there's a distinction between regulating the right itself versus regulating issues that revolve around the right. And that's going to be the big thing. And you know that all of the ones that are against us are going to go for the right. They're going to go for the jugular. They're going to try and change what keep and bear means. They're going to try to water down the word infringement. They're going to do everything that they can so that they can regulate the core of the right. And we need to do everything that we can to make sure that if they're going to regulate anything, they regulate those things that are outliers from the right, and so that the right itself is not being regulated.
And that means that we have to have men like you and men like Jim and radio programs like this and callers from Mountain Home, Arkansas, and sheriffs like James Alderton and Dick Heller, who are willing to stand up every single day and fight. And, you know, Ted Nugent said it best. We have 80 million gun owners. We have 4 million NRA members. There ought to be 84 million NRA members. And imagine the power that we would have, Dane. You know, because Daley, I can't believe I'm really going to say this, Daley, you really think Daley's, he's going to do everything he can to twist the English language. And he's working on that dictionary right now because he knows he's going to lose.
And he's a thug. He just doesn't care what the rules are. He's going to do whatever he wants.
Yeah, I agree. And it's not only him. It's going to come from all kinds of corners. And they're going to torture the English language. They're going to torture history. They're going to try and scare everybody to death. They're going to try and twist statistics. They're going to pull every stunt they can and every rabbit out of the hat, and we got to fight back. And I hope that whoever it is that you donate to, if you donate to the Bill of Rights Foundation, thank you, because we're the ones on the front line. Remember, we went to court before the NRA did. We won victories before when the NRA fell apart and couldn't hold up their case. You know, I ask that put your money where the success is.
Let's tell people where to put their money. We've got less than a minute here. Dane, where can people go?
Go to USBOR, that stands for U.S. Bill of Rights, .org, and our address is there, and we sure would appreciate any donations because Dick and I are living off of a shoestring fighting these battles. We do have some money. The NRA has helped us in the Heller 2 case. You know, we went to them and asked them to help us on the Heller 1. They said that they didn't think that it would fly. It ultimately did. We went back to them and said, now will you help us? And they said, yep, we'll help.
Beautiful. Dane, I have to cut you off on that note, my friend. We've got just a couple of minutes or a couple of seconds. You're on the Armed American Radio Network. The roundtable's coming up next. Dane, thank you so much for joining us. I'll be back next hour with James Irvine, myself. See you in a couple minutes.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org. Here I come again now, baby.